Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I'm Joy Dooling, and you are listening to the Joy of Membership podcast. This podcast is for membership leaders. So we talk about strategies for attracting, engaging, and retaining members. But that's not entirely the focus of the show, because let's be honest here, there is no shortage of advice out there on best practices in membership. What we need to talk about is how to actually make those things possible in the real world, how to be absolutely sure that growth practices are going to stick, how to make those things easier, more consistent, and even automatic in some cases. Sound good? Then stick around because we're about to jump into it. Hey there, Joy Dooling here, host of the Joy of Membership podcast. Welcome to this week's episode. Are your members quick to join, ready to engage, and eager to renew? If not, let's see what's going on and how to fix that. The best place to start is with the Member Experience Scorecard. With this one simple tool, you'll be able to see exactly where you have gaps that we should fill and strengths that you can build on. The download is free and you'll have insights in less than 10 minutes. You can download your copy right now at joyofmembership.com/scorecard. Okay, if you're driving, maybe not right now, but when you get back to your desk. With no further ado, let's hop into the show. This week, I'd like to introduce you to a new friend of mine, Allison Lex. Allison is a conversion copywriter, which basically means that she writes words that are intended to sell. She's been doing this sort of copywriting for more than 13 years, from landing pages to sales pages to emails to direct mail. Allison has done it all, and lots of it. The very first sales letter she wrote generated nearly $9,000 in less than 3 days to a list containing barely more than 200 people. That's pretty amazing. But the thing I like most about Allison is that she truly believes in her core in understanding what members want and then crafting the right language to show them that they should take this journey with you. That's what we spent some time talking about in this week's conversation. Hey, Allison, welcome to the program. I'm so glad you could join me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I am excited to be here.
Awesome. So tell those who are listening in on our conversation who you are and who you help.
My name is Allison Lex. I am what's called a direct response copywriter, and I help membership companies retain, sell, engage, all of those amazing things through their words. And so that basically means my job is to help you sell more stuff, make more money, and keep them coming back for more.
Okay, that's a pretty big job.
Yeah, so, you know, no pressure.
Some organizations, associations, trade groups, membership-based nonprofits are fortunate enough that they have a marketing arm of their organization, mm-hmm. and they might have writers on staff, but a lot of them don't. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about the challenges that you see organizations having around creating messaging for members?
I think this applies even if you do have a marketing arm to your organization. So don't feel like larger organizations or ones that are more established are not having these problems, because everybody does, even for-profit organizations, non-membership, online business owners, all of, they have the same problem. And it's really understanding what your ideal person, not just the person that you can reach right now, but your ideal, perfect member wants from you, why they're there. Because in some instances, it might be networking. In some instances, it might be information. In some instances, it might be access. In others, it's community. Others, it might be prestige. Like, there are all of these different reasons that they're there. And understanding that reason is not just saying, oh, they're here because they like our networking events. It's understanding the reason behind that and diving deep enough to then be able to speak to that in your marketing words.
Well, that's interesting because I often hear clients say that they know that they're providing value. They know that they are doing things every day, every month, every year that members ought to appreciate because there's just so much value. And sometimes I wonder if it is just a language thing.
It can be, but it may not be. So I'm going to give a quick example. I am a member of a marketing education membership. It's inexpensive. I think it's $40 a month. And they have what they've termed the Netflix style of training. I can go into their portal. I can watch and download whatever I want that's there. It's so much. It's completely overwhelming. I go through every couple months and I mark things to do later. I never do it. Do you know why I really belong? They have a Facebook group of over 10,000 people that I can network with, communicate with, get answers from. And I pay for that access, for that networking. I would probably join even if their platform went down. Okay, so they brought me in with all the education, but they're keeping me with the community. And so delivering value is wonderful. It may not be the main reason your people are there. Now, I'm not obviously the only person that belongs to this membership. There are plenty of people who go through all of that education and never show up in the community. So you may have a multifaceted membership base that's there for different reasons, but understanding why they are there is crucial because A, it's going to help you find more people like them, and B, it's going to help you keep them there. If this company found out that 95% of their people were there for the networking, they know they've got to keep that community growing and going, right? If that community went down, I'm out. Education, value, or none. That platform is inconsequential to my membership at this point. It's that community.
So when you're working with a client around sales copy, how do you tap into that? Like, how do you find out what their members want from them?
That is a really good question. And in a perfect world, I actually heard somebody say in a perfect world where it rained candy, I like that expression, but in a perfect world, the client would know. Okay. But in my world, the client usually has no idea. And so that's why I say everybody has this problem. And I do it through what I call getting creepy or friendly stalking. And I just start diving in and doing research. And it's funny because I actually do tend to use trades and associations as a starting point. So what are the competitors doing? What are they talking about? I find out if you have any kind of message board or group where they're talking about things, I look at it, right? So in the case of this marketing membership that I'm a part of, I would poll my group. I would say, why are you here? They're interested in interacting with you. If you have an engaged audience, use it, ask them. I might maybe have conversations with a couple of key people that I know have been around for a while. What's got you staying? What are you using? How often do you think you use this feature, that feature? I would look to see if I could find where they might be hanging out that's not connected with me. So let's say I have a membership for, well, I actually used to volunteer at JDRF. So let's say I am JDRF. Well, I might go and try and find Facebook groups for parents of children who were just diagnosed with juvenile diabetes. And I would join it and I would see what they're talking about. What's important to them? Is it education? Is it community? Is it access? Is it whatever? And I would begin to build that profile. I'm noticing this is a theme. I'm seeing that as a theme. I would just start kind of putting the puzzle pieces together. It's not ever going to be hard, hard data until you implement it and use your data. But you can use what I'll call soft data, conclusions drawn through observation in order to begin to build a picture that you can start from. You're not going to hit it 100% on the nose on your first try. That's okay. The goal is to get us starting somewhere so we can improve it. We can say, yes, you know what? People really seem to be connecting with this message. I'm getting more insert KPI here, right? Whatever we want. I'm getting more membership inquiries. People are staying a month or two longer. People are XYZ. Now let's see what we can do to improve it. Great. Now they're staying 4 months longer, or I'm getting twice as many inquiries or whatever. And so it's all going to be taking in that data, continuing to build that big picture, one single puzzle piece at a time.
While you say that's a soft approach, and I totally get that it's soft data, mm-hmm. I'm telling people all the time that conversations will tell you oftentimes so much more than the more formal, structured surveys that mm-hmm. associations and trade groups tend to like to do. I mean, surveys, annual satisfaction surveys, annual interest surveys totally have their place. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, if you set up a video camera in a breakout room at an annual conference or something like that, mm-hmm. and you just pulled members in and had conversations with them and taped those conversations, mm-hmm. you would glean so much yep. just natural language information about who you're serving and what they want and how they feel about how things are going.
And you touched on something. You said natural language. We really want that natural language. So in transparency, before this interview, we had a conversation about the language that the people listening to this use. And what I did is I worked to make sure I don't use advanced marketing language, because that's my world, because I want your people to understand it. The same is going to hold true for you and your members. What language are they using? You should be using that language, not your own. Because me explaining a concept in terms that you don't understand doesn't help you. And it certainly isn't going to sell you. Whereas if I explain a benefit of something, or I explain, I connect with you over something in words that you've used, which you know because you videotaped some conversations from your annual conference and you heard those words over and over again, it's going to connect immediately and resonate very deeply, because now you're literally speaking their language. That's really important. So I wanted to call that out.
Allison, can you share any examples that you might have of organizations that have done a little work on their messaging and the difference that it's made for them?
I'll tell you about a membership I ran. Why not? Here we go. This one did not go so well, simply because I called out the wrong benefit. Okay. So I used to have a membership called Ask a Copy Expert, and it was me and a partner, and we had weekly calls, and we also did copy reviews. So a member would send us their copy, and we would mark it up and send it back to them. And it was one set price per month. Nobody attended those calls. Not a single person wanted those Q&A calls. No, they wanted the review. I wrote this, tell me if it sucks. Right? Mm-hmm. So after a few weeks, months, I forget exactly, this was a while ago, we discontinued the calls. We saved ourselves those 2 hours a week, and we only focused on the reviews. It was now a review membership, and we sold four times as many.
Wow. Yeah, that really shows you the difference between focusing on what you think your members want and tapping into what they really are there for.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so had we done our research before launching this membership, we would have saved ourselves some time and some agony. But in the end, we were able to save ourselves time every week and make more money and serve more people. So it was really a win-win-win until it was no longer something we wanted to continue.
So just playing devil's advocate for a moment, because I hear this a lot from clients, is that members don't always know what they want until you've given them something that they like, show you what they want in their behavior. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they don't tell you what they want, like straight out, or what they tell you that they want isn't really what they respond to. What do you think about that?
I can agree with that. And so what I like to do, and this is a technique that I've kind of swiped from life coaching, if you will, is the 5 or 7 steps of why. And so let's say this member says they want information. Well, why? Why do they want it? because they whatever. Why? And keep going until you get to a really basic granular desire. And you may find that they want information because they feel lost and alone. Well, that's going to tell you that they really want community, right? You may find that they want information because they want to do better and know more. Great. That tells you they want more information. But by digging in those five or seven, I forget exactly, but as deep as you can go, why, you're going to get to the real reason behind the reason.
Okay.
There's always a deeper reason.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So if an organization is interested in improving their messaging and tapping into what members really want, do you have some place that you suggest that they start? Like, what would be the first thing you'd recommend that they do?
The first thing is to have set up those conversations with your existing members. Ask them and collect a few important pieces of data. Some you may already have that you don't have to ask them. How long they've been there, what brought them in the first place. If they came from XYZ membership driver, what have you. Then when you set up the conversation, ask them, why did you join? Why did you stay? What part of our membership are you using the most? What do you think we can improve on? What would you like to see more of? Those kinds of things, because that's going to tell you where you can improve and grow. That's important data too. And just everything should be in their own words. So if you do a survey, right? I'm not knocking surveys. Like you said, conversations are going to give you a little bit more of that back and forth. You can dive in if you have a follow-up question. But if you use a survey, make sure some of your questions are open-ended. Let them fill in their answer, not just multiple choice or yes and no or true and false or numbers, right? Have them do some typing. You may not get as many responses, but the ones you get are going to be much higher quality.
Yeah, much richer in terms of what you can glean from them.
Exactly. And so you have your conversations, you have your surveys, you have this data. And then you sit down and go through and note down anything that jumps out at you. Hey, I've seen this concept a lot. Or a lot of people said they came for the information, but that same percentage is here for the community. Or they really like the access we give them to different vendors or whatever the reason is, right? That is going to be your first step to then taking that information and putting it into your outward facing sales copy. Hey, join the number one community for underwater basket weavers. We are here to be on your side and give you support and cheerlead you because we found out that's what they want.
And that's the missing piece that I see a lot of times is that an organization will go through the whole process of developing a survey and they'll send it out and they'll get the results back and they'll talk about the results, but then that never gets integrated back into the language that they're using on their like membership benefits page and that sort of thing. So yeah, if people can take one thing away from this episode, it's to start doing that, like actually using the results of what they have and improving their messaging.
Exactly. If 100% of your people are saying, I'm here because I love the Netflix style learning library, and that's nowhere on your website, you're missing out.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Allison, where can people connect with you if they want to learn more about what you do and talk with you about copywriting?
Yeah. So my home on the web is allisonlex.com, and that's allisonlex.com. From there, you can grab any freebies I have, read some blog posts, check out all my podcast episodes, connect with me, find me on social. It's the hub.
Awesome. We will be sure to put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Thanks so much for being here, Allison. We appreciate your time today.
You too.
Joy here, back with a few thoughts about this week's episode. One of the things that can make membership challenging to sell is the fact that you literally have to sell it over and over and over every time someone renews. Unlike when someone makes a one-time purchase. Oh, sure, with the one-time purchase, the seller absolutely has to convince the buyer that the purchase holds value, and the seller may certainly want to see repeat business come from that purchase. However, it's still fundamentally different from creating an experiential membership relationship that requires ongoing tending and evolution over time. That's why the words that we use to describe what we're providing to members are so very important. I really liked the exercise that Allison Lex suggested during this week's podcast interview, where you keep asking a series of why questions in order to get down to the central core of what members really want. Another quick test that I often use when I'm looking at a client's site is what I call the so that frame. When an organization lists their member benefits, I want to know if the so that is obvious. For example, an association might say, we provide 12 networking meetings per year. And I want to know, so that what? We offer 30 continuing education units. So that what? We host the largest conference in the industry. So that what? We advocate for legislative change. So that what? It's the part that comes after the so that really starts getting at the value for members. So if the so that part isn't obvious, then you're missing a great opportunity to frame up the value in what you do. Now, I'm not saying that you literally have to say so that after every bulleted benefit, but it's a good test to see if you're making value statements on your website or in your brochures, because you want that to come through enough so that someone who's reading your brochure or browsing your website isn't just seeing a list of stuff you do, but they're actually getting a sense of why you do it and how it's important and what kind of difference it's making for your members. So I hope that gives you something to think about this week. That is all for this week's episode. I will see you back here next week. And in the meantime, take care. Hey there, you made it all the way to the end. Bravo to you. I'm back in just one last time to remind you that there's a free one-page PDF available over at the website that shows you more than 20 ways that technology could be supporting your efforts to attract, engage, and retain more members. It's actually broken down into the stages of the member journey, so you'll know exactly where each piece fits. And everything that's on that one pager can actually be automatically done for you with software that costs less than $1,000 per year. So if you haven't already grabbed it, you can get your copy at joyofmembership.com/tech. joyofmembership.com/tech. TECH. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.